This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Excuse me, is that something that you would say when you encounter bad behavior in public spaces? That's what we're talking about today on Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
Get in touch with us 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter, on Instagram. It's at BFM Radio. We are talking about how do you react to people with weird or bad behaviors in public spaces or in spaces that are confined, like in an aeroplane, for example. Mm. What do you do if you have a 7-hour long flight and someone next to you decides to turn that seat into his or her personal living room space, right? What do you do? And apparently there's some science behind why some people would behave differently in places like the cabin of an aeroplane. Mm. So we will talk about that in just a moment. We want to hear from you on what have been some of the weird encounters that you faced and also how did you deal with that. Following that, we will also talk about the worst work-life balance places, and apparently we're close to one of them, or maybe we're in one of them, actually.
40 out of the 40 cities, we're number 40.
Cool.
Okay. Not cool, actually. Yeah,
okay. Also, should some shows be unbingeable? That's actually a pretty interesting story. I think many of us are victims of the of this new phenomenon of, you know, just binging everything.
And victims are fans, you know.
Yeah. You know, Arvin would say fan, I would say victim. But you know, we will talk about it in just a moment. Remember, you can get in touch with us 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp and on Instagram and on Twitter. It's at BFM Radio. So yeah, we're asking, like, you know, what's the strangest thing that you've seen someone done? And I, you know, picked an article, came out from South China Morning Post, and you know, it was going through some of the weird things that people do, especially in planes. You know, from toenail clipping.
On a plane?
On a plane.
Okay.
To even, you know, just changing to their pajamas that they would normally wear, and you know, just, you know,
I've seen that. Which is fine. But in the toilet, they come back out or out in public?
Well, if you have seen anyone who's just decided to change into their pajamas in, you know, that place, then get in touch with us.
I know they do it in business class and first class, right?
Yes, they do provide as well, some of them, yeah. Also, some of them, you know, they rest their feet on the back seat or in the, you know, on the armrest in front of them, you know, so that's pretty annoying as well. And just recently, Arvin, he went to watch The Lion King. Mm. And the next day he came, you know, he sat down next to me and he immediately looked at me with his grumpy face. And he was like, what do you do when someone next to you can't stop talking while you're in the cinema? And I was like, good question. I don't think I've actually confronted any of these individuals before, just because I don't want any confrontation. And he's like, but yeah, that's what I did. So I had to focus more on the movie, but it became tiring because...
Trust Arv not to speak up. Okay, anyway, go on.
Double the concentration, right? Yeah. So you can focus on the movie, yeah.
But I think that's what many of us would do. Most Malaysians would actually just, you know what, I'm just going to try and close one eye and double down my focus on the other thing so that I'll just ignore what's around me, right? Mm. I know, you know, there are some cultures in maybe the Western world who are maybe more open, who would actually... you know, say it as it is if they are not, you know, comfortable with what you're doing, even if it's something that you're across the street that you're doing. I've been, you know, like, in Liverpool, for example, when I've, you know, walked down the street wearing a Liverpool jersey and across the street there were Evertonian fans and, you know, they would scream across the street. And, you know, okay. If it's in Malaysia, you just go like,
And you just wanted to walk alone.
No, Jeff will never walk alone, yeah. Frida.
So there was a gentleman who is a sales manager from the U.S. state of Pennsylvania. He, you know, he told South China Morning Post that, you know, on his recent flight from Hong Kong to Istanbul, a man across the aisle calmly removed his shoes and socks and then began clipping his toenails. And then after clipping his toenails and fingernails, he then got a bottle of clear nail polish and proceeded to start painting his nails as well. And, you know, so
that this is a he.
This is a he that did it on the plane. So what can you do when you find yourself getting very close, to someone who's doing something uncomfortable, and, you know, your options are actually pretty much limited. And the good thing is, though, you have to think of it in a positive way that, you know, maybe flights don't last forever. And, you know, most of the unusual behavior isn't really probably offensive, but it may be photo worthy. So there is an Instagram account. It's called Passenger Shaming. Oh. And it has reached about 1 million followers, which is run by Sean Kathleen Howard. And she is a former flight attendant. And what she does is that she will reshare any photos of, you know, you taking photos of passengers that have been, you know, annoying or doing something weird on the plane, or even just something cute. And, you know, if you tag it at Passenger Shaming on Instagram, she will share it across. And there are some crazy ones.
Have you checked it out?
Okay. I've checked it out. I followed it.
Yeah.
So have Love I. it. These are the kind of things that you would want on, you know, your Instagram. Things that you just go like, huh, that's strange, you know. That's really weird. But what about, you know, Frida, what about you? What do you do when you encounter bad behavior or weird behavior? Do you confront them?
Okay, so there's the plane. Okay, the most recent trip was to Japan, right? And then, you know, in Japan, there's a lot of... you know, their behavior is that they don't make a lot of noise and that sort of thing, right? I mean, many, many years ago, when I was working for IBM in the Asia Pacific office, in the lift, it says, please be quiet in the lift.
Yes.
So you actually have to be quiet in the lift. So, and then the onslaught of Malaysians that arrive, I mean, you know, we there aren't any of these signs, there aren't any of these things, but we'll go to all these places, suddenly you'll hear the Malaysians, right? And you think, do we understand also, like, you know, when you're in other people's countries, like, how do we behave? You know, do we first watch and see how they behave and then we behave accordingly, right? We want the same from them. I mean, we make comments and complaints about tourists from certain countries, right? Ourselves, right? I've had this experience it was a long flight from the US back to Malaysia, and there was this kid behind me who was kicking my seat, right? And again, it was the worst thing because I was on the window seat and not the aisle seat. So I actually let it be, talked to the parents, you know, and they didn't do anything.
They didn't even move or swap seats with the child.
I said, could you swap your kids? No. I know they understood English, but they pretended they didn't understand English. So what do you do, right? I was a full flight. What do you do?
Yeah, so the options generally when it comes to this, according to the, you know, South China Morning Post, they spoke to a few, you know, experts in this area, in the airplanes. They were saying that, you know, it's you report to the stewardess and try to get a change of a seat, try to raise this issue not just to the individual but to anyone who's, you know, managing that place, right? So it could be the in-flight supervisor, right, and stuff like that. But it's difficult. It is difficult.
Like clipping your toenails, is it not allowed? How did he get the toenail clipper?
Yeah, into the plane. That is a good question.
That's another question. But
so there are some areas that actually, in the lifts, for example, there are some areas where companies have taken the liberty, I guess, to put up these kind of informations to let you know that, you know what, this is a public space and, you know, these are the right behaviors in this space, which is, you know, it's weird that businesses have to do those things because it should be common sense.
Yeah. You know, there's this thing called EQ, right? And observation, right? When you go to a new place, for me anyway, I'm just looking around and seeing how people behave, right? And you better to be quiet rather than noisy in certain places. But that's what you do, right? When you go to another place, you just, you know, or wherever, I mean, even within this country, how do people behave in a certain place? And you should behave accordingly.
But I mean, that is, I completely agree with that, Frida. But sometimes I notice that when people are in a group, then they just tend to just go with the flow of the group.
The herd mentality.
That herd mentality, you know. So they'll be noisy in a lift. But I mean, generally, if we're alone, we're kind of quiet in the lift. You're not going to be talking to yourself, are you? So, but especially when you travel, these are the things that you should be looking out for. But I guess if you travel in a group, you kind of miss them because maybe you're communicating with the people in your group.
And sometimes you get carried away with the noise level that you're creating. It's if you're in the group, and you know, you sometimes you have to take a step back and realize, oh, maybe we were a bit too loud at that mama shop earlier on, or the cafe.
See, in mama shop is allowed, you know, because that's like, especially watching a football, right? I mean, that's the behavior in the mama shop. You know, everybody's watching football, that kind of thing. That's allowed, right? But you've got to be careful. And for me, I'm very careful when I go away as well. Is that one group of people, they say, where are you from? Malaysians. And it's a very bad reputation. Or if you're very quick on your feet, you say Singaporeans. Oops.
You don't do that.
Whenever you travel, you're always representing your country, I guess. You know? Yeah, so you have to be on your best behavior.
So I will later on, we will speak to Dr. Harjit Sidhu. He's the founder and a senior consultant of Quantum and Achievers International, a certified NLP trainer, to sort of, you know, dig deeper into the issues surrounding this and how do you actually deal with this? Why do people behave, you know, rudely in public places? And also, there is a scientific breakdown on why people become more emotional or act weirdly in cabin spaces, in airplanes. And also, why do people actually order more orange tomato juices in plane, and it's not something that you would order outside of an airplane.
Interesting.
Okay, stay tuned for that. Okay.
Calm Me Down by Big Nothing, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And we are asking you, what do you do when you encounter bad behaviors in public spaces? We've asked for your responses on WhatsApp 018789 8899, and on Instagram and on Twitter. It's at BFM Radio. Natasha Hasman on WhatsApp said in, I find kicking of chairs more irritating than any, you know, sort of like issue, bad behaviors. If you prefer to have the personal space, especially in cinemas, wait for a week or two when the moviegoers will go to another movie and then you can watch the show in peace. Or just wait 1 month and it will be on a pay-per-view TV. See, I'm fine with that, but Arvin would not be fine with that. He takes leave to go and watch a movie on the premiere day itself, right? So, yeah, Arvin, you just got to be patient there. Alvin Lum says, watching Avengers, the first one, there was a guy telling the person beside him about all the heroes and and what they're doing out loud. I tried to ignore it for about 15 minutes until I snapped and said loudly, please stop talking, which was followed by another person, yes, please stop talking. And you know, never done anything like that before, but it actually felt good. Alvin actually said it felt
good. No, but that's the thing, right? Some people feel like they come into a movie and then like they need to give extra narration or like to point out like who this person is, who's that person.
You'd think by now that we have the movie etiquette down pat. You think by now, right?
Yeah, especially if it's like a movie premiere, right? So you know the people who are there, they're really invested in this movie. That's why they're there for the premiere, for like the first screening. Yeah. So, I mean, have a little more respect, like, if possible. Because I realize that whenever this thing happens to me in the cinema, I never say anything.
Chia Tian Yuan says, bad behavior are no longer an excuse. It's just an oi. That's, I guess, the aggressive way of, you know, dealing with it. But do we have anything on Twitter?
Yes, we have something on Insta story here. This is from Delina, who's with me as well. And she just responded to say, ignore. So I guess non-confrontational
way. Christine says, my parents watch movies in the cinema and demand I explain what's going on.
Ouch, what do you do then?
Yeah, so you just go like, nope, you know, let's just wait until the movie ends, perhaps. Anyways, there is a scientific reason, going back to airplanes. So a model and a cookbook author, Chrissy Teigen, asked on Twitter whether there a reason why she cries more at movies while on a plane.
Wife of John Legend.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so the answer from her followers was an overwhelming yes, and they attested to sobbing over Deadpool 2, Bridget Jones's Baby, and also airline safety videos.
Why? Because it was that painful? Okay.
So comedian Joe Radanzo, he confessed as a plane crier at Legally Blonde 2 and Thor Ragnarok 2. he's cried at those two movies. And he said that his view is slightly more morbid. He says that, again, he's a comedian. Some say it's the air pressure, but I believe it's deep down, your subconscious knows it might be the last movie you ever see. So...
interesting point.
But, you know, besides, you know, all these, you know, far more anecdotes than they're more like, you know, than solid researchers, psychologists actually can point to explain behind what's dubbed as the mild Cry Club. The effects of altitude on emotions is one of the interests of Jody DeLuca. She's a clinical psychologist in the state of Colorado in the US. And she says that passengers might feel a lack of control over their environment or sense of anxiety that something bad could happen on the plane. That prompts the brain to produce a stress hormone, which can result in an increased heart rate and faster breathing. Probably. And, you know, she went on and continued and said that, you know, we are cognitively and psychologically and emotionally compromised, and now we're physiologically compromised. So this setup is perfect for an emotional vulnerability. And if you combine all that with maybe possible fatigue and the immobilization, the high altitude, reduced oxygen in your blood, dehydration due to dry air, it's a sign that, you know, maybe this mild cry club, it's probably true.
Okay, it's just good to know that I'm not alone, because I find like I'm just sobbing and I need to like control myself whenever the stewardess walks by, you know, just because I'm just, it's like full blown more than normal, and now I know I am normal.
I wonder what it's like for them to be on air all the time. I mean, working up in the air, and then like they must be.
I should talk to my sister about it. She's been doing this for 15 years. She's been flying for 15 years. I should talk to her about how does she feel.
Whether she has to control emotion a lot more, right?
Interesting. Also, tear ducts aren't the only thing that go haywire in airplanes. Apparently, dull taste buds, a hindered sense of smell, pain ears, they're all common. So a research commissioned by German airline Lufthansa in 2010 showed that the threshold for taste and smell increases in the lower pressure of an airline cabin. The perception of salt is reduced by about 20 to 30%, while sweet flavors were about 15 to 20% more difficult to taste. A professor of experimental psychology at Britain's Oxford University says that dry air cabin makes it harder for aromas to travel and dries out the nose, making it harder to smell that plate of, you know, chicken or pasta that you would have. And also the low air pressure and high levels of background noises in cabins can also play a role in your ability to smell and taste. And that is why a study in 2015 by food scientists at the Cornell University said that it showed that noise levels at flights tamps down sweet flavors but amps up umami taste in substances like tomato juice. And that is why many airlines like Lufthansa, like British Airlines, they have actually, you know, increased, you know,
salt
menu, food menus, having more umami flavors in their in their food menus, because, you know, you're sense of taste buds change. And that's the reason.
That one I know. That one I've heard.
That's the reason why apparently more people are ordering tomato juice when they're on the Mile Cry Club and not on ground. Anyways, we also spoke to Dr. Harjit Sidhu. He's the founder and the senior consultant of Quantum Achievers International. It's a certified NLP trainer. And we just asked, like, why do actually people behave rudely in the first place?
NLP says that everybody has got certain values in us. We have got these individual values. We also have the universal values. Now, individual values are, for example, for me, it might be right to cut a queue in a line because of my experience based on the pattern of behavior that I did in my past and also some biasness. Universal values is what is right in terms of the public eye. So what can be right in terms of an individual value may not be right in universal values. So, for example, what the article says is that, you know, somebody is actually clipping the toenails or probably taking off the shoe in a plane. It might be right in his own individual value. But, you know, he's crossing the boundary in terms of universal values. They can't see that they're actually crossing the boundary. They think their behavior is right, but they are crossing over another person or universal values.
So what kind of reactions we have to rude behaviors?
Of course, when we are dealing with this kind of difficult people, there are three things that we can do. Either a passive behavior means we don't want any confrontation. Being assertive, we are talking about replying back to this person just to tell the person, hey, you know, you are actually disturbing me in terms of the audio or some other unpleasant stuff. The third method that we can do is being aggressive. Aggressive means, of course, some situation we might call security or directly confront with the person. So usually, you know, we Asian tend to be the nice people. We want to avoid the confrontation.
So how do we react to behaviors like this in a way that could solve the issue?
It depends on the situation, frankly. Looking at the individual, if the person is looking aggressive, is really intimidating, so probably we do not want to use the aggressive style. Maybe start off with the assertive first. If he still doesn't understand the message, we probably, to avoid confrontation again, we probably have to use the passive method.
So definitely can't go with the oi immediately, right? Because that's just aggressive from the start.
And you've had people cutting queues, right? And then I would just say, excuse me, I was here first, you know, and firmly, not too loudly. unless they don't take heed, then the volume increases.
Not just simply, oi, don't cut queue lah.
Politely.
So, Dr. Haji, as you've mentioned, depending on the person either behaving rudely or reacting to it, the behavior can vary wildly. So to what extent does culture and upbringing play a part here?
In NLP, what we said, a repeated pattern over a certain time, it actually develops a behavior. That behavior, repeatedly over a longer time, it becomes your personality or your character. So these people actually, because of the allowed repeated pattern in their home ground or anywhere they were living, they sort of take it as this is acceptable behavior. So they tend to take it even physically to other locations or with even in the same country with a different group of people, but they seem oblivious about it. It is the repeated pattern that actually causes it.
And for rude people, is there a way to break through these patterns?
So in NLP, actually, one of the techniques, just to share with you, is we can also deploy a pattern interrupt technique. Because we know this person has been repeating the pattern, therefore it becomes his behavior. So my favorite technique, which is pattern interrupt, is if the person is doing some annoying behavior, I tend to interrupt his pattern probably by having a conversation where he needs to think about what to answer. So when he's constantly thinking about what to answer, he probably going to be interrupting his own pattern. He's probably going to have a difficulty to engage with me. So he might walk away to do that particular behavior somewhere else.
I'm going to try that. If the next time I find someone annoying in the cinema, I'll just go like, what do you have for lunch today?
Yeah, right?
Or, like, answer me this math question, you know, and then give him like a ridiculous sum, right?
Yeah. That's interesting, yeah. So let us know, how do you deal or how do you react to bad behavior in public spaces? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. We're also on Instagram and on Twitter. It's @BFM Radio. Get in touch with us. Up next, it is The Beach Boys with Barbara and BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.